6. I've been praying for this meeting for quite some time, for several months now, and I wasn't convinced until this morning the message that the Lord wanted me to bring, and that's kind of unusual. I don't speak out a lot, maybe half a dozen times a year, and usually when I do, I know usually at least a few weeks in advance when I'm going to speak, and it gives me kind of time to go over my notes and my thoughts, but in this particular case, I found out today. And so I trust that it will be a help to you, and I do thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here tonight, and thank you for your faithfulness and your being here as well. Let's start reading in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have of coming to your house tonight. We thank you for the opportunity of preaching your word. I pray that you would go before us tonight and prepare each and every heart, including my own. I pray that the message tonight would fall on good soil, and I pray that it would be able to germinate just as the Holy Spirit would want it to tonight. God, I pray that we would be attentive and receptive to what the Holy Spirit would have for us tonight. May we leave here knowing that we've heard from you. Thank you for the songs that were sung and the special as well. God, I pray that you would be edified and glorified in all that's said and done tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight's kind of an interesting message, and I know I'm probably for most parts preaching to the choir, preaching to the Thursday night crowd. And typically, I always look at the midweek crowd, and maybe this is wrong, Brother Ray, but I always look at the midweek crowd as kind of the backbone of the church. Years ago, we had the privilege of building a new building, and when we moved into the building, I had several people ask me, they said, "Preacher, which Sunday are we going to move into the building?" And I said, "I'm not going to move into the building on a Sunday. Our first service is going to be on a Wednesday." And they said, "Why? Why do you want to have a first service on a Wednesday?" I said, "Because typically those that are there on Wednesday nights, those are the ones that have sacrificed probably the most. They're the ones that have been through the thick and thin. And they're the ones that have been there and been very supportive since day one of this building project. I just think we're going to have our first service on a Wednesday night." And we did. Oftentimes my attention is turned towards this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm reminded, church, that we're involved in a war. As a nation, we certainly know that we're involved in a war, and we've got troops literally all over this world, many in Afghanistan, over in Iraq tonight. In fact, one of our young men is over in Afghanistan tonight, one of our deacon's sons, and looks like he'll be coming home around Thanksgiving time, Lord willing, and I'm sure many of you have some friends and loved ones that are over there as well. But the war I'm going to talk about tonight is not a war on America or a war on terrorism. I want to preach about a spiritual war, a spiritual battle that we're involved in. I don't know that I have to preface my thoughts too much tonight. I believe if you've been saved any length of time, you can say, "Brother Kroll, I've experienced some of that spiritual battle in the past. I know a little bit about spiritual warfare. I have just a little bit of an understanding because I've experienced it firsthand." Look at verse number 11 again. The Bible says, "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks or the deceitfulness of the devil." Verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Interestingly enough, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 3, the Bible refers to the devil as the tempter. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, he's referred to as a deceiver. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, the Bible calls him a liar. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible refers to him as an imitator. And church, there's many other names and many other opportunities we could use to describe him, but let me just suffice it to say that every single one of us tonight, if you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, you're involved in a spiritual battle tonight. You see, Pastor Kroll, does it get more encouraging than that? It will before we get to the end. or maybe when we get to the end. Just a few thoughts about the devil when it comes to our spiritual battle. Number one, he knows when to attack. Well, he knows when we're up, he knows when we're down. I'm convinced that he doesn't always attack our weaknesses. I'm convinced sometimes he attacks us in our strong area. Many times catching us off guard. He knows how to attack. The Bible talks about the wiles of the devil and the fiery darts of the wicked. Not only does he know when to attack, but he knows how to attack. And if I could say this, he's always ready to attack. In 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Church, we have an adversary tonight. That adversary is none other than the devil himself. Let me speak just for a moment about the war. Back in verse number 12, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not a physical battle that we're involved in tonight, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a spiritual war. It's not a physical war per se, it's a spiritual war. And I could probably list many different areas tonight, but let me say this. I'm convinced one of the areas tonight that Satan would target in your life and in my life is our mind. He knows if he can control our mind, he can control our action. I'm convinced not only does he want our mind tonight, but I'm convinced he wants our morals tonight. Well, if you've been around any length of time, I'm only 46 years old, but I've seen many, many changes in our culture just in my lifetime. And I've watched the morals in America just erode seemingly day after day and week after week. And you'd almost wonder, how bad is it going to get? How much worse can it get? And I'm convinced when it comes to a Christian, he would love to control our mind and he'd love to control our morals. And I'm convinced that he'd love to attack us when it comes to our marriages. The preacher said he's doing a study and a series on the home on Sunday nights in church. If there's an important series that we need to, it's one on the home. If I could say this, he wants your ministry tonight. He does such a great job of convincing people that somebody else could do a better job, so why don't you just go by the wayside? Why don't you just let somebody else eat that Sunday school class? Why don't you let somebody else take care of the nursing? Why don't you let somebody else drive that van? Why don't you let somebody else get involved in the visitation program? Why don't you let somebody else get involved and go to the jail ministry? Because he oftentimes realizes that there's really nobody that's even waiting to take that place. And he can discourage you from maybe giving up a position or an opportunity to teach or to get involved. He knows that maybe nobody else will pick up that slack. Number one, we have an enemy. We have an adversary. Number two, there's a war. I believe in this war, I'm convinced scripturally that it starts in our mind. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Church, can I say this? If there's a problem tonight, it exists in the mind. And I can say this, I know there's a problem with my mind. I know it seems like every time I turn around, it seems like the devil is always there. Maybe just to put this thought in or put that thought in over there. And it just seems like if I'm not too quick to recognize it, the thought's there before I even realize it. There's a problem with our mind. But I love 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. That says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Church, not only is there a problem with the mind, but by the grace of God tonight, the Bible says there's a purging of the mind that needs to take place. You say, how do I purge my mind, Pastor Grohl? The Bible says that we're to bring every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. So the moment that thought comes, if it's a bad thought, if it's a wicked thought, if it's an ungodly thought, we ought not think about it. We ought not leave it there. We ought not just kind of meditate on for a few minutes or even daydream about it or just kind of let it go, because the Bible says we're to cast those imaginations down. You see, church, there's a problem with the mind. There's a purging that needs to take place. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul tells us how we can protect our mind. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I had a young man in my office just the other day. And he said, Pastor Kroll, he said, I've heard you preach on the mind before, and I've heard you preach on the thought life before. And he said, I always thought it kind of pertained to everybody else. But he said, if I could just be honest and transparent with you, he said, my thought life is killing. He said, I have filled it with so much garbage that he said, all I have to do is just let it wander just for a second. And he said, all those thoughts and all those images and all those things that I filled my mind with. He said, Pastor Cole, it's like it's right at the forefront of my mind. He said, and the problem is it hasn't just been a few weeks or a few months, but he said, literally, it's been years that I've been feeding wrong things into my mind. And he said, Pastor Cole, when will it ever go away? I said, number one, you need to stop feeding that appetite. I said, you need to confess it, forsake it, get it right with God. And by the grace of God, keep it as pure and as clean as you can from this moment forward. Philippians 4, it tells you what to think about. Church, can I say this? When it comes to that war, even though there's many areas and many ways that the devil will attack us, I'm convinced what he wants first and foremost is our mind, because he knows if he can control our mind. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. He knows that. Let's go back for some good news. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. Look at verse number 13. We've talked about the adversary and the war. Now let's talk about the armor and our weapon. The Bible says in verse number 13, wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says we're to take how much of the army? Armor? The whole thing. Not just part of it, not just some of it. I know sometimes Christians, and myself included, sometimes we'll hear a message, we'll read part of the Word of God, and we'll treat it like it's a buffet. We'll take what we want and leave what we don't want. The Bible says we ought not treat the armor of God that way. The Bible says we're to take how much of the armor? The whole armor of God. Look at verse number 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You know what Proverbs 23:23 says? It says, buy the truth and sell it not. And John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Church, can I say this? Your life and my life ought to be dictated, controlled, and permeated with this book. This book is truth. I tell my people, if you read any book other than the Word of God, you need to read it in light of the Word of God, reminding yourself that it was written by a man. And even though some men have written some great things and have been tremendously, I'm convinced, inspired by God to write a certain thing, at the same time, it's not Scripture. This is truth. And it doesn't change. So we have truth as part of our armor. Then it goes on and saying, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Titus chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Church, just because it's the year 2011, and just because Hollywood has done away with probably just about every moral that God would stand for, it doesn't mean that we treat it the same way. Just because the world might be going, and it's going in a direction totally opposite of the way that the church ought to be going and God's word is going, the Bible still says that righteousness is part of the armor of God. So you say, Pastor Kroll, in this spiritual battle, in this spiritual warfare that we face, how can I be victorious? Well, first of all, we've got to take the whole armor of God. It starts with truth. It starts with allowing the word of God and the truth of the word of God to permeate our life. But then it also involves righteousness. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Brother Rich, I don't know what it's like in Jackson to go knocking door to door. I don't know that I've ever done it before. But I can tell you what it's like in Sheridan, and in Belding, and in Greenville. Most of the people are nice. But yet when the day is done, and you tally up your results, on an average day of soul winning, I don't see anybody wanting to cry. Passed out a lot of tracts, gave a lot of invitations, met some new people. And I fear that because sometimes we don't see the results that we'd like to see when we go out door to door soul winning, some people say, Pastor Kroll, it just doesn't work anymore. But I'm convinced, Brother Rich, when I see visitors come into our church every week, almost every single week, I'm convinced what God is doing is He's the one that's blessing the effort. We can't control the results, church, but we can control the effort. And Brother Rich, the one thing that I remind myself of when I go and I come back, even if I saw very few results to show for it, I can say by the grace of God, that's probably as close as I'll ever get to fulfilling the call of God on my life, to fulfilling the Great Commission, because you and I both know if Jesus Christ was a member of Loomis Park Baptist Church, He'd be seeking those who are lost. And if there's one thing we can do, as the Savior did it while He was here on this earth, what did He do? He sent the disciples out two by two to go door by door and to preach the gospel, the Word of God. He said, go into all the world, and He said, preach the gospel to every creature. Can I say this? You say, well, why is that part of the armor? Because I'm convinced before we take the Word of God and try to sow the seed of the Word of God and try to use it to birth a person into the family of God, boy, there ought to be a convicting part of the Holy Spirit that says, you know what? How can you take the Scriptures when you've got some unconfessed sin there? How can you go and talk to this person? You've got some things that aren't right in your life. I was with one of my men not long ago, and we were getting ready to go out and knock on doors, and he made this comment to me. He said, Pastor Crowley said, I shouldn't even be here. And I said, why is that? He said, I've had such a rough week this week. He said, just working in the world and hearing their music and just hearing the filthy language. And he said, mind you, he said, I try to get as far away from them as I can. I don't socialize with them when I'm on break. I try to just mind my own business and stay by myself. But he said, just so hard. And he said, even when I come to church sometimes, he said, I feel like everybody looks at me and just knows how dirty I am. Not because I've tried to live in the world and not because I've tried to absorb that into my life. But he said, it just seems like I've almost gotten to the point where it just becomes a part of me. And he said, Preacher, it's so hard when we go and knock on doors. He said, I don't even feel like I'm the kind of vessel that ought to be doing that. I said, Brother, I said, you just keep things right with God. You just stay as clean and as close to God as you can, and God will use you and God will bless you and honor you for that. You say, what parts of the armor, Preacher? All of it. The whole armor. Truth. Righteousness. Preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Shield of faith. Church, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we walk by and not by sight. You know what the world would say? The world would say that we walk by sight and not by faith. But you understand, the world has many things upside down. I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, he who dies with the most toys wins. Yet the Bible says that a man's life consisteth not in the things that he possesseth. God didn't say that. God didn't say he who dies with the most toys wins. What does the world say? The world says, finders keepers, losers weepers. You know what my Bible says? Just the opposite. Finders weepers, losers keepers. You see how to get that, Pastor Crowell? My Bible says, he that findeth his life, the same shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall find it. You see, we can't base our mentality and philosophy on the world. If we did, we're going to get in more trouble than we're in already. Church, if I could remind you tonight, the Bible says we're to take the whole armor of God. Truth, righteousness, preparation of the Gospel, faith. Remember in Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, but without, it is what? It is impossible to please Him. Do you realize without living and walking by faith, the Bible says, it's not going to be difficult to please God. It's impossible to please God. One more part of the armor. And take the helmet of salvation. Aren't you glad for the helmet of salvation? I'm not sure why the last part of the armor was the helmet of salvation. I know the Holy Spirit intended to be that way. Maybe because that was the last part of the armor that they put on before they went to battle. And take the helmet of salvation. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Church, it is sad, even though I'm not part of Jackson, Michigan. I've been in Jackson several times. And I've noticed there's a lot of churches in Jackson. But I'm sure every church that's here doesn't teach and preach salvation through Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. But that's the only hope for a person's eternal security and eternal salvation is through Jesus and Jesus alone. So we've got the armor. Truth, righteousness, preparation of the gospel of peace, faith, salvation. I'm sure we've all heard that before. Let's look at our weapons just briefly. Look at verse number 17. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Church, can I say this? When you read your Bible, if you have your daily devotions and you read your Bible every day, can I remind you that it's more than just a book that we read? It's the Word of God. The Bible calls it the sword of the Spirit. Now, the sword, if you're going to battle back in Bible times, what was the sword used for? It wasn't used for a defensive form of a weapon. It was an offensive type of a weapon. And church, I'm convinced that sometimes we almost act like we're on the defensive, and the Bible says, yet, I'll give you the sword and you can be on the offensive. I understand that we have an adversary tonight, but it doesn't mean that we run and hide. It doesn't mean that we take our candle and we hide it under a bushel. Oh, no. The Bible says we've got the Word of God. It's one of our weapons. Look at the very first part of verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Church, you know what prayer is? Prayer is a weapon that God gives us to use in this spiritual battle. You say, Pastor Kroll, I just feel like I'm so defeated. I just feel like I haven't experienced victory in so long. Can I ask you tonight, how often have you and how much have you been spending in this book? How much time have you been spending on your knees in prayer? Church, one of the things that I fear so often is we hear the importance of reading our Bible and praying, yet it's probably one of the easiest things for a Christian to neglect. We say, well, I'll get back on my Bible reading schedule next week, or I'll get back on it in January when I can start afresh, and I'll start on that new schedule, and I'll read my Bible through next year, and I'll get a prayer list one of these days, and I'll begin to pray, and I'll get a hold of God. Church, I'm convinced if we're not careful, when adversity comes, it'll bring us to our knees. Got a call from a lady in our church and asked me to go up to the hospital in Grand Rapids the other day. The reason she wanted me to come up there is the family's not saved and she wanted me to pray with the family. So I went up there the other night and I prayed with the family. And typically, as families do when they're in a hospital and they pray, they'll all kind of get in a big circle and they'll hold hands. And we were in the waiting room and there was probably a dozen people or so in that circle as we were holding hands and as we were getting ready to pray. And I'm going to try to do the best I could to give at least a short plan of salvation in that prayer. And I realized, wow, it's amazing sometimes how little time we have for prayer until a loved one's in a hospital bed with very little hope of recovery. Church, that's not what prayer is for. Prayer is not a spare tire in our trunk that we pull out when the tires go flat. Prayer ought to be the most precious and special time that we spend alone with God each and every day of our life. And the spiritual battle which we face, that's one of our weapons. God said, here's the reality. There's an enemy, an adversary called the devil. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's an imitator. He's a tempter. And you need to watch out for him. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you my spiritual armor. I'm going to give you the righteousness and the faith and the preparation of the gospel peace and faith. And I'm going to give you the helmet of salvation for those that are saved. And you're going to be able to use even that shield of faith to overcome all the fiery darts of the wicked. And I'm even going to give you some weapons to go along with that armor. I'm going to give you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I'm going to give you the helmet of salvation. And church, I believe he gives us at least one more weapon. Might be kind of interesting to speak on tonight. I won't spend a lot of time here. But in Mark chapter 9, there was a gentleman that came to the disciples and he had a little boy that was possessed with a devil. A form of spiritual warfare, spiritual battle. He brought his son to the disciples and he said, can you cast him out? There are times that he wallows and he foams and he's just under so much oppression. Can you cast this devil out of my son? And the disciples couldn't do it. Deacons probably couldn't do it either, brother. So he came to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, here's my son. He's possessed with the devil. And Jesus took that son and rebuked the foul spirit and it came out of him. Well, later on, when the crowd had dispersed and Jesus was alone with the disciples. They came to him and they said, Lord, why could not we cast him out? Because if you go back in all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the first three Gospels, Jesus gave his disciples over all of the unclean spirits. And he gave them power to cast out the devils and power to cast out these foul spirits. And they, first of all, maybe for the first time, they encountered one that they couldn't cast out. And they said to Jesus, they said, why couldn't we cast him out? And here's what Jesus said in verse 29. He said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Church, if there's one thing we don't hear much about anymore, especially in today's society, it's fasting. And I'm not a very good candidate for it, and I'm not a deep theologian on this subject. I'm just learning about it myself, and I've been told by one of the ladies in our church that I have an OCD, an obsessive compulsory disorder, and I'm told that it involves food. In fact, she's convinced that I cannot preach a message without touching food somewhere in that message. And she's probably right. And that's probably the worst part about fasting, because it involves food. But here's what Jesus said to these disciples. He said, this kind can only come forth by prayer and fasting. I believe you understand fasting. It's going a specific period of time without food for a spiritual purpose. And I know some may be unable to do it because of maybe health purposes or maybe medicines that they're on. But I'm convinced, Brother Rich, if there's one thing that we as a church have lost, it's understanding the importance of using every spiritual weapon that God has given us. Am I underestimating the power of the Spirit of God when it comes to the Word of God? No. Am I underestimating the power of the Spirit of God when it comes to prayer? No. But I'm convinced there's one more weapon that God would want us to put in that spiritual belt, and it's called fasting. And if we're not careful, we can ignore it and let it go away. If you want to check me out on this, the NIV and Mark chapter 9 and verse 29, the New International Version, leaves out the word fast. The New American Standard and Mark 9:29 leaves out the word fasting. The Revised Standard Version and Mark 29 leaves out fasting. You say, why, Pastor Kroll? Because I believe if the devil knows there's one thing that brings the power of God with it, it's prayer and fasting. You'll find it in the Old Testament. You'll find it in the New Testament. And mind you, fasting isn't a way of backing God into a corner. We can't do that. Fasting doesn't give us the right to demand anything of God. You understand that. But here's what fasting will do. Fasting will help us to separate the physical man from the spiritual man. What fasting will do, it'll help us to give up the spirit, or give up the physical, if you will, to gain the spiritual. It's a way of showing God how sincere we are, and that we're willing to say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit, because there's something in our life that is so strong. There's something in our life that has so discouraged us. There's something in our life that has so devastated us that we're willing to take not only the Word of God, not only prayer, but we're willing to take it one more step. And just like Jesus said, he said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Church, I don't know what you're facing tonight. I don't know what type of spiritual warfare you're facing tonight, but I can promise you this. Whether it's today or whether it's next week, next month, or next year, you're going to get to a point and you're going to say, how do I get past this one? How do I get the victory in this area? How can I possibly get to a point where I can say, by the grace of God, we're going to overcome this and we're going to be able to make it another day. And we're going to be able to say, I've received the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. It may take the Word of God and prayer and fasting. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. And this is interesting. It says, in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Church, can I say this? When it comes to our spiritual battle and the spiritual where that we're involved in, the Bible says that we're to pray always with all prayer and supplication. Then in it prefaces it by saying, in the Spirit. You understand, back in Galatians 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Somebody asked a preacher of years gone by, how do you walk in the Spirit? And he said, this is what you do. You find out where the Holy Spirit's going and you go with Him. You don't say, Holy Spirit, this is where I'm going. I want you to go with me. He said, no, you find out where the Holy Spirit's going and you go with Him. Or you say, Holy Spirit of God, what direction do I go in today? Who do I speak today? Who do I witness to today? How do I conduct myself today? And you find out where the Holy Spirit wants you to go and you go in that direction. You walk in the Spirit. The Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Bible says that we're to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Then it says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Church, can I tell you why the Bible says for all saints? Because maybe tonight, maybe your spiritual life is going well, and maybe God's given you the victory, and God's been so good to you in your Christian life. But maybe you could look even across the auditorium and see somebody who's struggling tonight. You don't need to go home and write a little blurb on your Facebook and say, yeah, so-and-so didn't look good tonight. You need to get on your knees and say, God, I don't know what they're going through. But it just seemed to me like the Holy Spirit prompted me and said, I need to get on my knees and pray for them tonight. It just seemed like they're bearing a heavy load tonight. And the Bible, doesn't the Bible say that we're to help those? Brother, if men be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual what? Restore such an one. Do you know, if we could be quicker to pray than we were quicker to point out everybody's flaws, I promise you we'd all be better off, and so would every church that puts the name Baptist on its name out front. If we could just get back to the point saying, you know what, maybe what they need is not my criticism, and maybe what they need isn't my ability to critique, and maybe what they need isn't all of my gossip and all my griping. Maybe what they need is for me to spend some quality time on my knees in prayer, and maybe God would give them the victory that they need, because the Bible does say that I'm to pray and I'm to supplicate and persevere for all saints. See, Pastor Crowell, things are going well in my life tonight. Praise the Lord for that. But I promise you know people in this auditorium, people in your prayer list that are struggling. You know people that are dealing with a heavy load and people that are dealing with some heavy burdens. And I'm convinced what God would expect of us is not only to watch and pray for ourselves, but also be willing to pray and supplicate for others. Can I encourage you to do that? You say, Pastor Crowell, is there victory in this battle? Is there victory in the spiritual war? First of all, I'm convinced the victory comes through the Spirit. Because the Bible says we're to pray in the Spirit. In the Spirit. You know, the Spirit is the one that empowers us. In Acts 20, the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Church, the Holy Spirit is the one that protects us. And 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's in us tonight? The Holy Spirit of God. According to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit not only will give us power to overcome the adversarial assaults of the devil, but He'll also give us the ability to protect us from him. Number two, I believe that there's victory through our Savior tonight. Your preacher read the verse just a few moments ago in 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, the Bible says, but thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Church, there is victory tonight in Jesus, and it's not just a song in your songbook. It's a reality, but I'm also convinced there's some things we need to do in order to get that victory. Number three, I believe there's victory in the Scriptures. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 9, he said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Church, there's victory through the Spirit, there's victory through the Savior, there's victory through the Scriptures. Yet it's sad, because in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. And meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him. Church, I I wonder how many Christian POWs there are in this world tonight. There might even be some Christian POWs right in this auditorium tonight. And the Bible says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Church, isn't it sad to think that there could be Christians tonight that are nothing more than a pawn in the devil's hand? And every time he says, take one step forward, they take one step forward. Every time he says, take two steps to the right, they take two steps to the right and two steps to the left. And every time he says, hey, why don't you turn that music on one more time? And why don't you flip up that website one more time? And why don't you look at this one more time and listen to that one more time? And why don't you spread this gossip one more time? The Bible says they're taken captive at his will. Church, if we're not careful, that could be any one of us tonight. Any one of us. We oftentimes read the papers and we hear the news and we ask ourselves, how could people be guilty of such horrible crimes? How could they do such horrible things? And Brother Rich, I'm convinced that any one of us is capable of doing any one of those crimes at any given time. All we have to do is just leave the door open. All we have to do is just maybe leave our house one day, and instead of putting on the whole armor of God, we've just kind of picked and choose the ones that we want and just kind of left the others left unattended. Let me say three things in closing. You see, Pastor Kroll, if there's victory in the Spirit, and there's victory in the Scriptures, and there's victory through the Savior, then how do I get that victory? Number one, I think we have to repent. Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Church, if there's something in your life, your preacher doesn't necessarily need to know about it. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe your spouse doesn't know about it. Maybe your children don't know. Maybe nobody knows but you and God. But can I say this? Until you repent, there's no victory. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. When David was confessing his sin of Bathsheba in Psalm 51, he said in verse 10, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David understood what happened when he held on to that sin. And it wasn't until the prophet came and said, David, thou art the man, that David finally confessed and gave up that sin. And when he did, he literally poured his heart out in a heart of broken repentance, realizing that until he repented, there would be no victory. I think some people think as long as they heard the preaching and maybe even wrote down a few notes in their Bible, that's the victory. Now, the victory comes when we repent. Secondly, can I say this? The victory comes when we renew our mind. We talked just a few moments ago about the battle being in our mind. And church, I'm convinced it's there because in Romans 12:2, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That ye may prove it as that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I love the Webster's 1820 dictionary definition for that word renew. It means to implant holy affections in the heart. It means to get the sin out, to get all that evil junk out and replace it with holy affection. In Ephesians 4:23, the Bible says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Church, if we're going to get the victory that God has available for us, I'm convinced, yes, there's victory through the Spirit, there's victory through the Scriptures, and there's victory through the Savior. But we as God's people have to be willing to repent of our sin. We as God's people have to be willing to renew our mind. And lastly, we as God's people have to be willing to resist the devil. James 4:7 tells us that. But interestingly enough, before it tells us to resist the devil, it says what? Submit yourselves. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You see, your pastor can't submit for you. Your youth pastor can't submit for you. Your fellow church members can't submit for you. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Loomis Park Baptist Church, can I ask you a question tonight? How's the battle going? You know, Pastor Kroll, some days it goes well and other days maybe not so well. It doesn't have to be that way. God promised us the victory. There is victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is victory tonight in the Spirit. There is victory tonight in the Scriptures. But church, we must be willing to repent of our sin. We must be willing to confront them and to come clean with God. God already knows about them. We just need to confess them and forsake them to God. And say, God, I want to leave that sin alone. I don't want to mess with it again. You see, we need to get to the point where we hate the sin like God hates it. Psalm 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. We have an RU program, Reformers Unanimous. It's a faith-based addictions program. Meets every Friday night. We've had it for almost 8 years now. We've had addicts come in almost every Friday night with stories that you would not even believe. Maybe some of you would. Horrible story. Nightmare. And when these people get right with God, Brother Rich, it's amazing that many of them, they can learn to develop a hatred for that sin. But I'm convinced, if you truly want to develop a hatred for sin, love the Lord. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. I see some young people here tonight. Hey, young people, don't think that the world's having all the fun because they smoke and drink and go to the movies and run and chew and all that kind of stuff. Don't even think that for a minute. I see them by the droves that come in. I go to the Montcalm County Jail almost every week of my life and saw a kid in there last week, and he spent his 16th, 17th, and 18th birthday incarcerated. He's not enjoying life. The devil sold him a lie, and he bought into the devil's lie. And the world will make it look so fun and so attractive, but I promise you the best thing you can do is learn to love God and hate sin. And when the Holy Spirit convicts your heart, repent of it. When that thought comes in your mind, renew your mind. Say, Holy Spirit of God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I want to take that wrong thought and I want to replace it with a holy affection. Something that's true and just and lovely and honest and of good report. And last but not least, we need to resist the devil. But we resist him by, first of all, submitting to God. And when we submit to God, resisting the devil is next in line. And then the Bible says, and he will. From us. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. God, I pray that you would